Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another edition of Critical Issues, where we look at the issues of today and those that affect our daily lives. We are coming toward the end of a year here that in America. You know, we have different calendars, but with the calendar that's being used in this country, we're coming toward what they call a year end, into a new year. We want to get started as we get started in this program today, because I think we got a very good topic that we want to talk about. But we want to start with opening prayer of the Quran and Fatiha. So we say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. I mean. Well, welcome. We welcome our audience to this edition of Critical Issues Solutions that we try to bring here and discussions we try to have to inform and to also increase our knowledge. You know, when we have programs like this, we always want to get a benefit from it. We got to be able to see what benefit did I get by listening, by participating in the particular event. Over the last week here that we've been watching some events on the National Geographic Channel, and we've been seeing all different types of animals and all in the animal kingdom of the animal world that's been being displayed. And you can learn so much there. You know, people, they spend a lifetime maybe studying the nature of a bear or the nature of a fish, and not only a fish, but the different types of fish that is in the ocean, you know, and they study the nature, how they migrate, what their purpose is. A lot of times, even plants. We know we got the plant world, the animal world, and the fowls world that's here that man has studied scientifically over the years to see what is their purpose, what benefit do they give to the creation. And we come up with is very, very interesting, and I guess you could spend lifetimes trying to study that. But the question that came to my mind is, we have studied these animals, but have we given much study to what is the human being's purpose? Why were we created? You know, and like I say, in looking at the National Geographic and the other programs that they got on, they're so interesting because they go into the depths of things and see how it takes them to be a part of this creation to keep Allah's creation in the balance that Allah wanted, that we need the bear, we need the insects, we need all of these things, because if we were missing some of them, then the nature would be off. So we need all of these things to make God's perfect creation in the nature that he created is. So the question that we want to ask today is, what do you think the purpose of the human being is? And then, we may not have enough time today, but you should further the discussion in your mind as to what do you think your individual purpose is as a human being in this creation? And I think that should take up a lot of space in our thinking process as to what. I just have not personally seen a lot of programs on the human being. Like I say, we see them on the different animals in the world, and some of these pictures that they show us are so beautiful when you really look at Allah's creation in here. I remember the saying that goes like this: when Allah was getting ready to create his creation, the earth, the world that we live in, he showed it to his angel, we call Jibril. Some refer to him as Gabriel, but he showed it to his angel. And Jibril looked at the creation as a God was creating it, and he replied to his Lord. He said, "My Lord, such a beautiful creation. How can anyone go wrong in a world like this? And then Allah showed him instantly after his creation, his beautiful creation that Jibril could not see how anyone could go wrong in there. Allah showed him the creation after it had been influenced by the, as we say, the shaitan, the evil and the wicked minds that took the beautiful creation and brought it down to a level where Jibril said, "My Lord, my Lord, say, how can anyone go right in a world like this?" And I often reply to people, I say, this is the world we're living in now. So we see that man has evolved in his creation. And I think a lot of this, the reason we have studied the plants and the animals and have not put publicly the study of the human being as they do the other creatures or creation in this creation, I think the reason is because when we look at one of the purposes of one of the natures of the human being, and we verify this in scripture and in Quran and Bible and other scriptures too, it's verified that the human being was given something that the other animals or plant was not given. And oftentimes we say in the religious circle that that was a soul or that was a free will there. But we have not, in my opinion, have not publicly publicized that purpose where the human being, or the average, I should say, human being would know his or her purpose in there. And I've noticed, too, even in the translation in the Quran there, some Qurans will translate it as man. And some Qurans may give to me, a better understanding, it would say a human being, which I think is a better translation because of how the society has looked at man. You know, when we say man, or when the average person is saying man, they think of a male. They don't think of the human being. They think of a male. And then, of course, you know, in this society, when we want to refer to the opposite of male, then we say a woe man. And I've heard different stories on that. So we asked in the question this morning, what is the purpose of a human being? Now, there's a lot of surahs that address that in the Quran there, in there that that we can look at this this purpose and why God has created the human being. Well, we do have a caller. I believe it's our brother Mark Shaheed. So we're going to bring him in here to make his comment or ask his question there on this important subject of what is the purpose of the human being. Assalamu alaikum, brother Mark. Welcome to the program, and pray everything is going great up your way, and we thank Allah for all the blessings that He's given us down this way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Alaykum as-salam to you, Brother Henry Haseeb, and to your very distinguished radio audience there at AM 360 Radio. This is Mark Shaheed from the STF. That is the gateway city of St. Louis in the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah That is, the praise and the thanks belongs to God first and foremost, always. And you cease to amaze me, Brother Henry. Allah bless you with some great topics. And this is true to the name of your production that you and Dr. Jamal Rashid started almost 10 years ago. You know, critical issues and solutions for critical issues. This is a critical issue because asking that question, the purpose of the human being, and you know, when you see people today not being human, you know, you say human being. So what is a human being? It's being human. And we see people that have the physical form of a human being, but they're not truly being human. And oftentimes we will label people as, you know, in terms of humanity, doing an act of humanity, which speaks volumes. In that regard, you know, so always, as Imam Muhammad have instructed us, that as students, he said, you always go to the Quran first. You always go to the Quran first because it's only Allah that's speaking in the Quran, and he specifically tells us in Surah 51:56. What his purpose is, and we are familiar with it. We read it at least probably once a year during the month of Ramadan, and many that may be imams or educators or teachers, we often go to that verse, and that's Surah 51:56. Allah says that he has not created the jinn nor the ints. The ints here is the human being. That's the Arabic for the human being, the ints, except but for my worship. And so Imam Muhammad explained to us that that means, you know, ab, you know, when we say ab, like we say ijaka, inaka na abudu. Na abudu. So ab is for my worship, for my service, and for working for me. And Imam Muhammad say that also it means purpose for our creation. So that's the general description. And Allah uses these two creations because of their uniqueness. These two creations that Allah is referring to in the Quran, their uniqueness is that they have freedom and they have free will. In other words, these two creations, which is the human, and you are absolutely correct, it's better to say human because it can give the wrong misconception if you say man, just say man. And what comes to some people's mind is just the one gender, which is male. But human means both men and women. So human. So what is the human? Or what is the gender of the human? It's both male and female. So it's better to say human, and when you say human, you are inclusive of both male and female. But if you just say man, it would be like, I'm not a man, and if it's a female, I'm not a man. You know, I am a woman, you see. And Imam Muhammad gave us a better description of woman, not woe to man, like this was taught early on, but the womb of man and the womb of mind, in terms of how we'll actually produce what actually was created to produce us as human, you know. There's much to go into that. But this purpose, that's the general purpose. But then Allah says also in the Quran, we're staying with the Quran here to give a foundation, and then we'll, you know, begin to look at it specifically. Then Allah says in the Quran that to each is a goal, and to each, each means in terms of individual, you know, to each is a goal in which he turns you to. So now this is now talking about each as an individual. Or so in other words, Allah has influenced each one of us here with a specific goal. A specific goal to do what? To serve God. And so this becomes specifically the purpose for the individual. Henry Hasib's goal won't be the same goal as Mark Shahid. And Mark Shahid's goal won't be the goal of maybe, say, Imam Dr. Nasser Ahmed. Imam Dr. Nasser Ahmed's goal won't be the same goal as Imam Fahim Shuaib's goal. And we could go on and on individually. So the Quran, as Allah has revealed it, is revealing a collective goal. If we're looking at it right, and we're taking it to its logical conclusion, for all human beings, it is the same. It's to worship, to serve, to work for its creator. Why we know that? Because Allah says, he's telling us in terms of these two creations, that I have not created you except for specifically this. That's a collective goal. Mm-hmm. But then when God says, is that to each is a goal, now he's specifying individually that each one that he has created, he's given them a specific goal in terms of how they ultimately will serve. And it's very, very important for each as an individual to know what that goal is. That purpose is, that goal means that specific purpose in which he's given. So Allah has given each, you understand, specific, unique skills, talent, gifts, presence. We can say it like that. And some of them are obvious to other people and be obvious sometimes to the person that have been given these unique skills, these unique talents, these unique gifts and presence. They become obvious. They're open where you can readily see them. But then some of them are wrapped up, just like we wrap up gifts and presents, you know. Mm-hmm. And they have to be unwrapped to discover, uncover what has been wrapped up. But Allah has given that to each of us as an individual. Mm-hmm. Now, as a wordologist, the word purpose I use in teaching this to young people, and we can spell it in our mind, in terms of purpose, P-U-R-P-O-S-E. For the general, is people understanding the revealed plan of successful existence. So look at that. In general, do people understand the revealed plan? Now, what is the revealed plan? The revealed plan we get in Revelation, but also we get the revealed plan in natural creation of successful existence. Okay, so what do you mean? We go back to the Quran again, and we go to 3030. I have not memorized it in its entirety, but I will just paraphrase what God says. And I'm hoping that everybody got an ink pen, a pencil, and they put down 3030 so that they can go to the book of guidance. The Quran is a book of guidance. Imam Muhammad said he didn't read the Quran for knowledge. He read the Quran for guidance. So Allah tells us in Surah 30, Ayah 30, he says that the human being was created on the same pattern as the rest of natural creation. And he also says, don't change it. Don't change it. As she was so eloquently talking about, Brother Henry, and we studied the natural creation and the animal world, the fowl world, the plant world, the marine world, sea life world. There's a world of insects and, minerals and on that's in the natural creation. Celestial bodies and all of this is a world, and as man studies it, it reveals its nature, it reveals its properties that Allah has given to it, and it also reveals what God's will and plan was for it. So when we think about purpose, understanding, that's the first thing. You want to understand, in the word purpose, people's understanding of the revealed plan of successful existing. You know, there are a lot of people, as you know, Brother Henry, they just are born and they're just existing when we see them just waste their life standing on a corner, passing a bottle around, drinking wine or alcohol, or, you know, just subjugating themselves to drugs, becoming a slave toward those type of things, addiction, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this is not successful existence, but Allah has a purpose for us to reveal a plan for the human being of successful existence. So when we look at 3030, now we have to ask ourselves the question, as Imam Muhammad said, you do not come to the Quran as a casual reader, like you read a magazine, you're waiting for the dentist to call you in, or you're waiting for the doctor, you got an appointment, and you're just browsing through a magazine. He said you have to go to the Quran as a thinker. But what kind of thinker? A deep thinker. So if Allah says he created you on the same pattern as he created the rest of creation, now your mind should ask, what is that pattern? What is it that we have that's like the rest of natural creation? Okay, so when we study natural creation, the answer would be simple. It is that all of the natural creation, it displays willing obedience to its creator. Willing obedience to its creator. How do we know that? Because you said it earlier in terms of the uniqueness of the human being. We see the world of the celestial bodies, and they stay in their place because they don't have a will of their own. When we see and study them, we see what God's will and plan was for them, and he has put law on them, and we have studied even the law of gravity. Therefore, we look up and they study these big natural creations and planets and the sun and the moon and the stars and all of that. And man has been able to grasp all of that, but what was given uniquely to the human being in terms of the intellect to be able to go into the natural creation and extrapolate the science. What he said, Imam Muhammad said, the scientist is the scientist to be able to go. But these huge, humongous bodies of natural creation, they stay in their place. You don't see chaos. You don't see it falling down to earth and all of that. And Allah describes that in the Quran, in terms of they're held there with invisible pillars. So it's really amazing. And then man begins to study other natural creation, like you talk about the fowl, the birds that have wings. And this is how man actually is able to create his own world from studying the natural world. This is how the airplane came about. There's a bird called the hummingbird. This bird is very unique. It just can stay in the air, flapping its wings, but not really moving forward or what, just staying in the air. This is how the helicopter came about. You see, man's a natural creation. And also, in terms of looking, as Imam Muhammad said, when we look up at the night sky, he said, what is it that we see? What message does the natural creation bring to our mind? He said, when we look up, we see peace, we see order, and we see beauty. Now, why is that so important? Because that is what it is that man is to establish on earth. Now, we don't see that here in 2023, of course. That's the opposite. We don't see peace. We don't see order. We don't see beauty, and we don't see that harmony that we see in creation. I'm going to stop there because I know you have to
just
take a pause.
I'm going to leave you in the queue. We're going to take a PSA here, and we do have another call on the line that we're going to come back to. But just hold that thought, Mark, because this is a very, very important conversation that that we really need to do, because it is. I don't see too much out here like I see, and I enjoy looking at these other nature programs, but
yes,
I don't
sir.
See anything about the human being too much.
I'm working up to it, Brother Henry. I'm just taking my time, but working up to it, you know, using the Quran first, and then we're going to go and we're going to look at the nature, the natural creation in which the human being is a part of that natural creation. So I'm kind of methodically working toward, you know, that.
Well, just stay right there in the queue, and we'll be right back after this PSA.
Hi, this is Dr. Amina Ali, Wednesday night host of The Birth of Women here on AM 360. You know, we recently had a very successful pledge drive. Your passionate giving helps to keep the programming alive and well. So to keep the offering continual, we are asking each and everyone within our listening audience to make an ongoing, tax-deductible, very charitable donation of as little as $10 a month. You can use a major credit card, pledge via autopay, or make a yearly donation of a higher amount. Log on to cwsc.us and click the donate button. Remember, your donation helps grow the iman of the Ummah into a higher intelligentsia.
Okay, and this usually is the time we start our the fundraising for donation to support AM 360 radio, which we know the parent is CWSC. And we do ask you for your continuous support, because we don't get any public funds or anything. And I know this month we've had situations with Block Talk here, their engineering issues and all that they've been doing. So we hadn't been able to really ask like we normally do. But I think adult human beings, you only have to just ask them once or twice there. But we ask you to do what you can to support CWSC and AM 360 here. So we're going to go to our next caller right here, and I believe it's our brother Imam Kareem Hamid. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Kareem.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah. Instructor Henry, praise be to Allah. Yes, we have rescheduled the kickoff for the end of the year annual fundraising due to the complications we've had with Blog Talk. It has not allowed us to broadcast on a regular scheduled basis. And the date that we have chosen to kick off once more is January the 6th. That's on a Saturday. And we look forward to everyone's presence to help us with this fundraiser kickoff so that we can continue to provide excellent broadcasting and the services of the community-wide Shura Conference. Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. You began this broadcast with mentioning that you observe the study of animals on National Geographic, you know? And Almighty God says to us that we have communities like the animals, that you will find similarities. Almighty God tells us emphatically that our purpose as human beings. Allah says to us that that men and jinn were created for one purpose. That is to worship God. That is our purpose. That is the purpose, is to worship God. Now, we have a relationship with animals. Anam, the surah in the Quran, it is entitled The Animal. And Imam Muhammad's tafsir on the surah Al-Asr, which means time through the ages, Imam Muhammad has said that man is lost. He's lost. He's trapped. That Asura lends connection to Us. He's trapped. He's struggled. Absent of God's spirit in the human being, the Imam asks, what is he other than an animal? This body that we walk around in, it is an animal. It is an animal, and we are a spirit dwelling inside of this animal. The spirit is activated, praise be to Allah, when Almighty God shares some of his spirit with the spirit that is in the human being. Then, when Allah breathes into the human being some of his spirit, then he becomes a living soul. So we be again in a close connection and associated with animals. But the special nature that we have is Almighty God breathed into us some of his spirit, and then we became a living soul. We became human then. You know, we can see physical bodies walking around and eating and playing and working. But absent of God's spirit, you can find that same behavior in animals. Eat, drink, sex, play, work. But so we have a special kinship with the animal kingdom. But what separates us is that Almighty God breathes into the human being a portion of his spirit. Then he became human. Then he became a living soul. The soul was there, but it had not been activated. It had not been activated absent of God's spirit. So our purpose, the first question you asked, what is our purpose as human beings? Almighty God answers that. that he created men and jinn for the sole purpose of worshiping him. Now, how do we do that? How do we do that when Allah needs nothing from us? Allah needs nothing from us. He does not need our worship. We do not add not one iota to Almighty God's presence, his glory, his majesty, with the accolades that we attribute to him. That does not add to him, nor can we take away from Almighty God's majesty using derogatory statements concerning Allah. We have no effect on the Creator. So how do we worship? We worship by serving and meeting the needs of human beings and managing the creation itself, utilizing our free will. That is that is considered dressing the garden that we are to build on, what Almighty God has placed us right in the midst of, the creation. And we learn lessons from the animals. We watch the animal. We see how a beaver is able to build a dam and change the course of rivers. Where do we think we got that from? We got that from the example of the animals that have communities like unto your own. Bees, they have a very structured community life. They work in tandem with each other. We learn from the bees, Anrahom, Shurabainahom, mutual consultation and cooperating with each other. So we learn from animals, but we are a higher creation. We are a higher creation than the animal in that Almighty God breathes into him, shares with him some of his spirit. Then we elevate from animal to true human being. Praise be to Allah, to true human being. So that answers what is our purpose. Our purpose is to worship God. And we worship God by serving the people and the environment and the community in which we live. So that is our purpose, is to worship Almighty God. He said it emphatically. So I'll stop right there, my brother. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, but before you go, I wanted to just say, you know, even what you just opened up is a whole nother subject on how do we worship our Creator? How do we worship Allah, you know? Because that's a lot of other misconceptions that's being given out of here. We know today in this material world, it's being taught in a lot of religions, different preachers, I'll say, would tell people they worship God by giving them monies. And even though it's got a ring of truth, you know, because every lie has got a ring of truth in it, because you cannot lie. As I say, the devil, he can't do anything without taking a part of our God's creation. So that's a subject in itself that maybe, inshallah, that we will explore. And you hinted at it. I think that's just a hint when we say by serving each other. I think we need to get a lot deeper into that so people can get a good understanding of how we worship, how God, our Creator, should be worshipped. So
let me say this. Yes, sir. Just one more, sir. I won't be long. I don't like to talk a long time and use a whole lot of words. Imam Muhammad has shared with us that when we turn toward the Kaaba, the keeper, our orientation, our direction, and we we prostrate toward the sacred house. And the sacred house is the Kaaba, which means connections, that we're all connected to one another, mm-hmm. with one humanity.
Yes.
Now, mm-hmm. in the beginning, Allah bade the angels to prostrate toward Adam. And they all prostrated except one that was acting in the role of the angel. He refused. Now, mm-hmm. Imam Muhammad shared with us, when we prostrate, we are prostrating to the original nature that mm-hmm. Almighty God created in Adam, that we are prostrating right. toward Adam.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that you know, there are
well,
there's
that's,
a
that's
whole...
a lot. Like I say, it's a big subject, and even just what you said then is need more exploring, because you know. It's so much confusion. If the confusion were not here, then and with the people's understanding, and I'm talking about the masses now, you know, I remember Imam Muhammad telling us, you know, say, hey, if I was with a different audience, what I'm taking 2 hours to give you, I could give them in 2 minutes. But we have not reached that stage in society where we can do that, because there's so much confusion that has gotten in there. So it's a lot of clouds and colors that we got to clear out from our people. Well, we do have another call, and I do want to bring them in before we leave. But this is a subject we, again, will probably definitely have to continue. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you.
All right, we have area code 706. We see you out there. Welcome to the program. State your name and where you calling from.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad, by the way, from Georgia. And some of the areas that you covered right quick, if we're going to prostrate to Adam, we know that Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the full example in the final development of Adam. So we follow in his footsteps, or we prostrate, or we walk, or whatever language you want to use, toward what he is leading us to establish this community, this world community for the believers. How do we serve Allah best? We hear and obey his messenger and put it in deeds and actions. Imam Muhammad told us, he said, we do not need to waste any more time, not no 10, 20 years down the road, to build this model community. He said, if we feel like that, then he might have to go back and ask Allah to give us some more time. But that's a sign to us, to let us know that we already have everything we need to put this model community, put all this concern for our fellow human beings into, first of all, saving our own soul first, what Allah has given all of us. And he also has a leader out front to lead the world into prayer like he did Bilal. So all we have to do is just put together all the wonderful information that Allah has given us and go to work, because he said, "Enter ye my workers." So let's follow our leadership servant, Imam W.D. Muhammad, and prostrate to the human being Allah has given a full development to, of how best to worship him from Adam to Muhammad. It's very clear, and we pray Allah that we keep it clear and go to work on. We don't want Shaitan to take any more of our time and our children off the wrong path, you know, when we already have success right here waiting on us. Victory's already waiting on us, remember? Already waiting on us. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum. And I sometimes think, thoughts in your mind, as little ideas becoming, I say it would be beautiful if we could get together. And, you know, books are usually written by usually maybe one or two people. But if we could get together with all these beautiful concepts that we have, especially using the Quran as our base, that we could come up with, like, how do we worship God? What is the purpose of the human being? These are little things that to us, you know, when you got some knowledge of it, it seems like it's a little thing. It's probably like when you go to the doctor and you got a cold, you think it's a big, big, big deal. And then, but the doctor thinks that from his standpoint or her standpoint, that it's just a little thing. Oh, you got a little cold, or you just need this medicine. But you go there, you want to know, oh man, what's going to be wrong with me? How can I cure this thing? So we got to be able to put this language, especially with what we're dealing with. They call these generations, you know, of people different. They had the X generation, the Y generation, and now they have come up with the Z generation. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to have to be able to communicate with these people, these mindsets. And I think that's what it's all about, because the human being is the same ever since Adam. But as far as our makeup, but our mindset is steadily evolving in there. So we're going to have to find a way to communicate with young people. And I find out that, hey, it's very few young people that's into religion, as you say, into the church and things like this. There's some, but by large, it's not the majority from what I see. So those are very good comments there, and we need to put them where we can be able to communicate with our generational people here. I appreciate that call. All right, Brother Mark there, we're going to come back to you there. We got about 12 more minutes or 10 more minutes, into the broadcast here. So I wanted you to continue along that line that you had started down. But before you do that, we're going to take a PSA here, and we will be back. And I do appreciate that information from Brother Kareem, that we're going to start up the fundraiser for AM360 again. So mark that on your calendar, January the 6th. Now, you don't have to wait to that to donate there. You'll still get your credit. It'll always be in person's name that makes that donation. There, and we appreciate whatever you can give. We'll be right back after this brief PSA.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
All right, we're back where we are asking the question, what is the purpose of the human being? And I know that's a big, big subject there, but it's one that definitely needs to be addressed. I said on that,
yes.
Brother Mark.
Yeah, alaikum assalam. Can you hear me? No, this is a excellent topic, and you already knew that once you gave this topic that it was going to require a part two and maybe a part three in terms of it. I think the commentary has been excellent in Kareem and what it is that he's given, and just setting the foundation, even Brother Muhammad just setting the foundation. You know, but I think that's like when you start a topic like that, you have to set the foundation. But even what is said, we have to go a little bit deeper, just like what you're saying. Was saying to Kareem, I want to say something in terms of what it is he said to even hopefully, inshallah, give more clarity to it in terms of spirit, which is ruh, and putting into the human being, like God said, something of his ruh or his spirit. That can, if we don't understand and give it a little bit more clarity, Imam Muhammad said that spirit is influence. Okay, so in other words, Allah creates, but he influences what he creates. And so there is of two spirits that comes to the human being to make the human being the full human being. The first is the natural creation. How do we know that? Because Allah says in the Quran that he taught Adam the name and the nature of all things. That's natural creation. That's what he's influenced by first. But the second spirit or the second influence. And the reason I'm saying that because, you know, for people who may not be Muslim, or they could be Muslim but not learned in that, it's like spirit. Well, did he just blow into the human being, you know, something, and he became a living soul? No. So what was the second spirit? It was the word that was revealed to the human being. We call Adam being the first. So this was the second spirit that enlivens or brings the soul, to activate the human being. So we're still on the path in terms of purpose. But we also know that the language was that Allah said in the Quran, I'm making a khalifa. Once again, Imam Muhammad's tafsir, a clear explanation. And I like to say tafsir is clear explanation. It's not just commentary, because people can give commentary, but it won't be clear. It's like, what? I heard what you said, but what? So he said that khalifa means I am making a true human being. So if we was doing a mathematical equation, then you should put khalifa equals true human being. This is a tafsir. This is not Mark Shaheed's interpretation. Mm-hmm. I don't want to take any credit for this, just being a student of the Quran, a student of Imam Muhammad, and in the class, you know, with other students of Imam Muhammad. So khalifa means true human being. And he also said that Allah created the khalifa to be the leader for moral life. This is very, very important, because when you're talking about, you know, what is the human being, he is to be the leader of moral life in addition to what it is that Kareem said, because this is true, because it ultimately, in terms of servitude, you know, worship is servitude, because Allah doesn't need anything. He's independent of everything. So everything that he creates it with a purpose. There's a plan for all of his creation. And so in terms of the communities, this is saying, you understand, that man can look at that and he can learn from the natural creation. This is how man builds his world, from studying the natural creation. But man also... Yes.
Mark, I just noticed we're about out of time. The clock on thing say we got 4 minutes, but we only got 1 minute based on my clock. But we continue.
Yeah, we
got to
get off. We don't want to get in trouble.
We're going to continue next week. Inshallah.
Yes.
So we appreciate all our listeners. Tell your friends and family, hey, to join in, because you'll be surprised the difference that this will start making in the society with this type of knowledge. We will see you next week for another edition of Critical Issues. Assalamu alaikum.
As-salamu alaykum. This is the preacher Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you, Tanya.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Imam Adam B.R. here on Money Sense on AM 360 on this Thursday morning, December 28th. I want to welcome all of you to our program today. And inshallah, we'll have a lively discussion. And I'm hearing Brother Henry's topic on what is the purpose of man's life, what is the purpose of life. And I'm going to narrow that down just a little bit and say that what is the purpose of our community? What is the purpose of our community? But before we get into that, let me read something from the Quran. From Surah Yusuf, it's 102nd and 103rd ayah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ أَجْمَعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَمْكُرُونَ وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَّصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ وَمَا تَسْأَلُهُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ صدق الله العظيم. In the translation of that, those extra read three ayahs, 102 up to 104, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Such is this one of the stories of what happened unseen, which we revealed by inspiration unto thee. Nor wast thou present with them when we concerted their plans, when they concerted their plans together, in the process of weaving their plots. Yet no faith will the greater part of mankind have, however ardently thou desire it. And no reward dost thou ask of them for this. It is no less than a message to all creatures. Sadiq Allah deen. Allah speaks the truth, and surely Allah's words are true. I was as I normally do, thinking about our community and seeing what the purpose of our community is. and often reading excerpts of Imam Muhammad's speech. I have a subscription to the Imam W.D. Muhammad Study Library, and I use it fervently. And I was researching his concepts on the convention, and what is the purpose of the convention. And the reason I was doing that is because to go to conventions is a major investment for people who might not live in the convention area. I know me and my wife, if we go to a convention, we're going to drop about $2,500 at the convention. Airfare, hotels, rental cars, we're going to drop that kind of money. Yet I noticed that of the $2,500, the entity that's having the convention might receive $300 of that. And the purpose of them having the convention is a fundraiser. So I say, well, there's a way that we can ensure that the entity that's having the convention gets more of our money and not less, then it would truly be a fundraiser. So one of the things I came up with, and I don't necessarily like it, but I did, I said, well, if I set out this convention and I send a donation to the Muslim Journal, or I send a donation to Mosque Arab, or some of the other entities that I'm having conventions, they would get more money. They would have the ability to get more money, which is what they need. Let's be real about it. Our institutions need our support. They need our support. Now, just think, if everybody that didn't go to the conventions would in turn, I'm not saying don't go, but there are a lot of people that don't go. But if they in turn would send a donation, that would solve that. That might solve that problem. Might. Then I had another idea. I guess you're saying, man, you got too many ideas. But let's think about it. All of our institutions, all of our institutions need support. They need support. So if there was a way we can have the meetings or conventions or however we want to describe it, whatever term we want to use to get it, if there was a way we can do that and not having to leave a lot of money on the table, then the entities could get more donations. But you know, with us in conventions, it's a boilerplate effort. You figure you go to a large city, you reserve the hotel room, you pay for the airfare, maybe you might rent a car. Excuse me, I'm trying to work through the day. Maybe you might rent a car. Right? So if you want to go to two or three conventions a year, now I know some of you had that kind of money, so don't. I'm not talking to you. I know y'all got big money. You can afford it, so that's not a problem. But there might be many of us who can't afford it. So I said, what if, again, I got too much time on my hands, what if every entity that has conventions had their convention or whatever you want to call it, at the same time, during the same week? You say, well, how would that work? Well, let's say we say from Wednesday to Sunday is convention week. Wednesday through Sunday. It's convention week. So, on Wednesday, the entity convenes its convention session. And so if you have three or four entities that are having a convention at the same time, on Wednesday and Thursday, they can have their particular workshops. They can take care of their particular business on Wednesdays and Thursdays of the same week in the same location. And then on Friday, we get together for Jumma. That Jumma will be packed because everybody's going to be at the same place at the same Jumma. So we get together for Jumma. Then, on Friday evening, you can have one fashion show, or you have one cultural night with everybody. And then you come up with Saturday. Saturday, everybody convenes together, and they can have workshops, things of that nature. Saturday night, we have a big banquet. And then on Sunday morning, we have a public address on the same week. So I know those that have an interest in doing their own thing would say, well, how can that work? How can that work? Well, we can come up with a revenue sharing plan. And theoretically, there would be more revenue to share than your small convention idea, revenue sharing plan. So it's just things going around in my head, how to make this thing work. Because right now, more of our money is going to hotels, airfare, banquet facilities. More of our money are going to those areas because everybody's doing their particular effort at one time, independent of everybody else. So you probably say, well, revenue sharing ain't going to work because that ain't going to work because, you know, XYZ committee or whatever won't be getting as much money. If you study the life of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet told us, so the the ruling party in Mecca. We're going to have one event and invite everybody. They had the same mentality. Well, if you do it that way, we won't get as much money. Fast forward to 2023. You know how many people went to Mecca? In 2023? Those that were against that, boy, they really blew it. They didn't see it. Because their vision was too narrow. Their vision was too narrow. And that's the problem. When I read what the man Muhammad said about conventions, he was saying that's where we set the stage for our community and what we're trying to do. And let people know. There might be brothers and sisters from a small town in Omaha that when they go to Jumu'ah, it might be 10 people there. And they never have the opportunity to go to Jumu'ah with people from all over the country. That was solving that problem. So I'm going to open it up. You know, you're probably thinking, Adam, you think you do much, man. You put too much thought in this. But I'm going to hear what you think about that, if that will work. You say, well, how will we get that to work? Well, people have to broaden their vision a little bit. It has to have faith. Right? People have to do that. People need to study the thinking of Imam Muhammad on the purpose of the convention. So I don't know if it'll work again. I can go back and think about this, and might think it's a terrible idea. I don't know. But let's go to the phone lines right now. I'm going to play a PSA. Excuse me. And then we'll come back. And we'll go to the phone lines. We have a couple of callers.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith Program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to make it in the land of plenty is how we focus on the principles of El-Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
All right, let's go to the phone lines now. This is Adam B. out here on Monday since on this Thursday morning. I'm sorry, I seem to got an irritated throat, but y'all been with me. Let's go to the phone lines. Error code 314-833-314-833. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam to you, Imam Adam Bia, and to your very distinguished radio listening audience there, AM 360. This is Mark Shaheed from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah that the praise and thanks belongs to God first and foremost. And let me just first and foremost say to you, I like the fact that you are thinking, because I'm a thinker too, and just to give what Allah says and what Imam Muhammad taught us. He said, Allah says, think, for thinking is a benefit. It's a benefit to you. So Allah wants us to think. And I have thought about that you have thought about in this formulating to an idea too. Personally and openly, I have heard Imam Muhammad express that thought that you have expressed, that he didn't like his community being gouged. That was the word he used, gouge, in terms of going to these big hotels, and most all the money that's being spent going to the hotels. There's one other thing. Years ago, I used to travel with a pioneer brother that since his transition, we travel all across the country, and especially when I was part of the special security for the imam, go to many different places. But I remember years ago, Imam Adam, that in Chicago, when it was held downtown Chicago, this is years ago, maybe 20, 25 years ago, if you rented a car and you had to park the car, they were charging $35 a day. 20, 25 years ago, $35 a day. You know, and you would probably spend 3 days, so you're looking at additional money. So, and the brother that used to travel, we split the cost, and we split the cost in terms of room. But that's also an added expense. Also, because those who were negotiating, you would think that in just reserving rooms, that you would get some things that would be negotiated on behalf of those believers that was traveling, which is going to cost more unless it was actually in your city. And at that time, it was held there in Chicago. Now, what Imam Muhammad did say, or he did request from Imam Ezekiel Pasha, who's the resident imam there in Malcolm Shabazz there in Harlem, New York, because he was a businessman. And Imam Muhammad knew that he had the ability and the capacity to help to bring about a convention, to purchase a convention center where we could have our own conventions and also conferences, and where the money that would be spent could stay amongst us. So I don't have to tell you how important that is. I mean, your whole production, in terms of money sense, or what makes sense in terms of spending money, and what other ethnic groups actually do, you see, because it defeats the purpose oftentimes when we just give our money to other people and a small percentage stays with us. So Imam Muhammad was on record in terms of saying that, you know. And so this has happened there in Inkster, African-American community, about 20 minutes outside of Detroit, not actually in Detroit. But the plan for that was to demolish all the homes there and just run a highway through it. Well, what ultimately happened is that because the interest there and the purchase of a formerly performing arts building, and then once a strip mall that's being renovated, and also the performing arts building and the purchase of homes and other property, it has brought new life to that community. And also it has a historical content too. I just think that what you're offering is very, very important, because they're really, when you say convention, where you convene and all, there's only two conventions, and they're happening at the same time but in different places. Okay, so what does that say? That say is there a desire to want to come together to work in a collaborative way, a collective way, where both of those entities, conventions, they actually can benefit? Or is the desire just to continuously do your thing? And so this is a question, what you're bringing up, this is a question that community members have asked, and they've asked it on national radio, the different blog talk entities, why don't we have one convention? So, I mean, this has been thought about in that regard, but it seems like there's an unwillingness to come together. And I think also, you know, I may get some backlash for saying this, but I got to be honest, I think that some just want to ignore what Imam Muhammad has said. And this is not a public record in that regard, and many of us know that. We know that. So then the question becomes, why is it that we can't come together for the benefit of the whole? That's Islamic, you know, for the benefit of the whole. Or is there selfish interest? You see, I have to ask this question. It's a rhetorical question, but it's a question that we as a community have to answer that. Not only the leaders, but also those that make up the community, Imam Muhammad. And I think that the people have the power or the influence to actually speak to the leaders if the leaders don't come together. You talk about convening, the leaders should come together and convene. And say, what's the best interest of the people? Who was Imam Muhammad as a leader? When he made decisions or when he articulated to us, what was he articulating? He was articulating in what's in the best interest of the people, just like what you just did. This came about first from thought. And I agree with that first idea, especially when you can't go somewhere because you can't afford the cost in its entirety. The second thought that should come to our head, and I experienced this in the old Nation of Islam, the original Nation of Islam, you would send a donation or you would help to sponsor somebody that maybe didn't have all of it, but you would send a donation. And if everybody began to think like that, that would really benefit that entity. That's how we have to think. You know, you have to think in regards to the whole and not just in terms of your own personal interests. And I think that the selfishness has been a detriment. And I'm saying they can come after me if they want to. It doesn't matter to me, but the truth is the truth. It has hurt the progress of the community in actually coming together, because that is a desire of many of the people to come together and to work in a collaborative way. So I could say more, but I think I said enough. And all I can say, brother, is keep on thinking, because as Imam Muhammad said, that's what Allah wants us to do. Think, for thinking is a benefit to you, but that you is not only you individually, but you plural for us as a community.
Well, the thing about it is, look here, I'm at the point now, I'm not trying to hurt nobody's feelings or draw shade on anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But the implications for our community, to me, is greater than somebody's feelings.
Right? Yes. That's right. That's right.
I heard one brother say that in terms of the conflict you talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the only thing you're going to solve that problem is a couple of Janathas.
To do what? Now, I didn't hear the last part. What did you say?
The only thing that's going to solve that problem is a couple of Janathas.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some people, they got so hardline in their position, they ain't going to move until they got to move.
Until, so, yeah, there you go. There you go. And you know what? You know what, Imam Adam? I think that the community need to know that we can have influence in terms of helping to facilitate that move. if they don't convene, if they don't come together, then as a community, you come together. And as Imam Muhammad said, the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was a strategist. And he told us, he said, and I'm a strategist. So what was he saying to us? If we're going to make progress, we have to be a strategist and come with some strategic planning to make that move in the right direction for the benefit of the whole of the community. I mean, it's just simple to me. Well, I'm a thinker, too, and I don't apologize for thinking, too. So that is a benefit. So all I can say is just, my brother, keep on thinking, and those who listen, they should keep on thinking. And as Imam Muhammad say, right-minded people, get with right-minded people. You should come together. If this community is not doing as the leader has said, articulated, it's not that we're making these things up. Most of us, we heard these things. I mean, what I'm saying, what you're saying, many of the people, they heard these things. They may not have traveled as much as, but they know what Imam Muhammad said, and they're not in compliance with that. So we can help to facilitate that move by coming together and being strategic in what it is that we do. You know, so alhamdulillah. And you're right on point, my brother.
Thank you very much, brother.
As-salamu alaykum.
All right. Walaykum as-salamu alaykum. All right, let's go back to phone lines. Error code 706-627.
Alaykum. Wa alaykum as-salam. Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad by the way of Columbus, Georgia. As always, you know, you're on point. And as we know, anything that we're going to do, we have to have a budget, like you said, so that we can spend feasibility law on saving our own souls first. And we are so strung out in other people's ways of life right now. You're trying to share and do our job as far as to let them know there's one God and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his messenger. But we have to first save our own soul with that reality of the Quran and the message of representation of that Quran in the life of Prophet Muhammad. If we had, like myself, I'm a poor man, I'm just like you, you know, but I'm willing to say every 3 months I got $1,000 toward a budget to put us back where Imam Muhammad left us at. He left us in conferences in every city that came to him, and he used to tell us, he said, when I come to your city, make it benefit you. Make it be benefit for the dinner, where we're going to eat at, wherever we're going to do, the parking lot in somebody's farm who owned, we park there. We can come up with strategies, using that language, you know, to generate the income that we need while we also at the same time pleasing Allah by doing dawah, by getting back out here and traveling around these 50 states, teaching al-Islam, the clarity of al-Islam, what al-Islam would do for the human family, and while at the same time we are helped coming to that city to generate income to help those local business people. Hear the Quran, an example of the life of the Quran by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, and at the same time we help them develop an income or spirit of unity with each other. And maybe we do that for 1 year. That's almost a $407,000 budget. If we just had 100 people who could, like you said, could afford to spend that type of money to go to a convention, but we don't know how to spend to have a budget to let our outcome of calling us together ensure. We got six sections. You know, we can start with that. We got Imam Warfdi Muhammad II. We got that. And we got our own self to call each other to shura and set up this 1-year strategy of going around to all 48 of these states and maybe Hawaii and Alaska too, you know, teaching Al Islam, teaching what Prophet Muhammad said, teach what Imam Muhammad has said, and generate the income to everyone in those cities we go to. That's a real convention. When you have everyone who can hear the direction, the guidance of this Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And yeah, it's on our community. I do believe Allah has blessed the community of Ibn Warfdi Muhammad to be the ones out front. But we have to remember that we're out front as a model of what the human family was created for and what the human family is supposed to be doing. And we have to spend of what Allah has given us on our own soul first. So when they see we have I learned that from Imam Muhammad when I used to, Imam touched on it a couple of times when he was telling the understanding of the purpose of the traveling jamaatis. You know, sure, we know that all these things have been abused by people under the influence, knowingly or unknowingly, of the shaitan. But those models are still out there for us to use. Understand what a traveling jamaati is, you know? And Imam Muhammad was that. He was a traveling jamaati because everywhere he went to teach al-Islam to whoever wanted to hear him teach al-Islam to them or share it with them, whatever language you want to use, you know, he had a staff with him. He had a staff
I don't know that.
I don't want to get derailed on jamaati. I'm not endorsing.
But I had the worst experiences with jamaati.
I agree. Me too. Right. Fuck them. As I was coming
up. They would come down Masjid.
But remember now, we're not talking about them, buddy, man. We're not talking about them. We're talking about what we can learn from that model. Now, what I mean by model, and I'm still not talking about them personally. I'm talking about the signs that Allah gives us in creation, be it a car, be it the weather, be it a jamaati, be it whatever, in each other. When we see and learn from what each other is doing,
that helps us in our
worship to Allah. And our progress.
Don't use jamaati.
I go with that. Okay. What I did, as I said, Imam Muhammad, he left us operating in the arena of convention centers and conference centers and anywhere that anybody would buy him to that city. But he also made it clear to us, when I come to your city, let it benefit the believers there.
Yeah.
If you got brothers and sisters in that town who own restaurants or store, and they know that we're coming to teach al-Islam in that city and answer questions on how there's only one God and that Muhammad is best, that they benefit from it. So that takes a little coordination. That takes a little strategy on the local community who is going to be the recipient of our leadership. Right now we have a couple of leadership. We have the sectional imam. We have Imam Wabdi Muhammad II. We have others saying good works are going on in the community, but we haven't come to Shura to sit down and use them to create a budget to continue to build upon the propagation of al-Islam and the establishment of al-Islam. And that's what we have to do. We have proof to tell anybody that we are a community. So there's some legal things we have to do, like what you're saying. There's some financial legal things we have to deal with because we're in another society and we're around a different thinking people and stuff like that, and we have to observe their rights and not conflict with their way of life, but also not let them influence and affect our way of life as we go about building this modern community here in America, our share of the duty.
But this is our society also, Muhammad. This is our society.
If I said that, buddy, man, you act like you don't hear me. I said that. I said our community, too. We have a right, too. But we have to do the same thing Allah tells us about their society. We will obey them as long as it does not interfere with our worship. And we're supposed to do the same thing with them. So what that does is whether we know it or not, if we look at the wisdom of it, Allah is showing us how to let everyone do what they want to do, but make sure they have food, shelter, clothing, and transportation.
Okay.
But also not to let them infringe upon our rights to worship what we believe in, and we're not supposed to interfere upon their rights and what they believe in until we come together to common terms, ensure, again, with these people, you know, with these different ways of life. Because we know Allah created Al-Islam to show us that there's no other way of life that man has experienced that's better than his favor that he's given us now, Al-Islam. Without a burden nobody, not coercion nobody, but just showing how we spend on our own souls first so that we know what it's like when we spend on others.
Alhamdulillah, brother. Thank you very much, my brother. We got another call on the line behind you. But,
yes, sir.
And I got to go to a PSA. Right. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, sir. Be safe. As-salamu alaykum. As-salamu.
Join us for Muslim American Power 5 on Mondays, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Muslim American Power 5, referred to as MAP 5, featuring Sister Amatullah Sabri, Sister Cheryl Sadi, and Brother Fleming Alamein. That's Monday, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time for MAP, Muslim American Power 5.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. We have a caller. Excuse me. Area code 718-749-748-749.
As-salamu alaykum. Wa alaykum as-salam. William Kareem here. I'm not going to take a lot of time, brother, to say what I need to say because there may be other callers in the queue, but I would like to say this, that I'm a witness. I'm a witness to the power of the creator of the heavens and the earth. I'm a witness that as a Muslim, I'm doing better personally. And as a Muslim, I can say that, you know, by following the teachings of Imam W.D. Muhammad and our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, my family is doing well. But I can even take it further than that, that I'm a fortunate individual to live in a community of New York City where I see progress actually going on. We have the Bronx Masjid, Masjid Adam, Masjid Yusuf Shah, and Masjid Sabur that are doing great works, community work, are giving programs, and those programs are being supported by the people, not only the Muslims in the community, but the people are also just part of the basic community. And also, they are encouraged because of the work that they're doing, they're encouraging the other Muslim masjids to actually participate and get involved and sharing the information and the opportunities to help to get them involved in, you know, serving the community and giving functions. So I'm very fortunate in that degree. As far as education is concerned, I think that we're doing pretty good as far as education, because we do have examples of schools, Clara Muhammad schools, that are operating. Yeah, we could have more, but the ones that we have are being supported, especially like the 150. I had an opportunity to see Dr. Nasir Ahmed at the Muslim Time to be Grateful situation. He's operating the Clara Muhammad School greatly down there. Oh, and also the Time to be Grateful was an excellent event that happened. It was well supported by the Muslim community. We came out and we supported that. And also, I have to give a shout out to the Masjid of Atlanta. A Masjid of Atlanta is doing a lot of great things down there, especially as far as the children, martial arts, business. They're doing a lot of great things like that down there. And I think that what we need to do is recognize the examples that are doing well in our community instead of saying what's not going on in the community. Because I believe that I'm a witness, first of all, in my area. And I know that the work that also I have to put this in, that the work of I've been working with Sister Martha Nala Williams and the Community-Wide Shura Conference. And that's going around. country, seeing what's the situation with our masjid, and seeing what we can do to come together. So I just think that it's really important, and this is the last point I'm making, I just think that it's really important for us to recognize and keep hope and faith and positive energy about the good things that are going on in our community. Thank you, Brother Adam. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you, Brother William. I appreciate that, brother. And like William said, there's a lot of positive things that's happening in the community. And I think that's one thing about having a convention or something where you spotlight the positive things that's happening and hopefully even duplicate it, duplicate what's happening. And there are positive things that are happening in smaller cities. Based on their resources and their influence, a lot of good stuff is happening, all right? We just need more of it. We need to work together as a community and try to encourage other communities to do the same. You had mentioned 150, 100 law. We're going on the eighth year of supporting our schools, eighth year. And anybody in the New York area, I got one question. Is there a school in Masjid Malcolm Shabazz? Is there a Claremont school in the Masjid there? I'm having difficulty finding that out. But if there is, please let me know. Somebody send me an email, text, or whatever. Hey, there is a school here. We'd like to add them to our rotation, if we could do that, and if you can make that happen. So there are a lot of positive things that's happening, and it's just that I think with the initial discussion we have here is how can we direct I'm sorry, I woke up today, my throat is irritated, but how can we direct our resources to where it benefits us as a community? And that's what we're trying to determine right here. We need to realize that we are one community, and we should not be fractionalized. So whatever we can do to keep that from happening, we need to try to do that. All right. I see Carly still has his hands up. Erico 314. 833-314-833. As-salamu alaykum. I think it's Brother Mark. Did you fail to lower your hand or you still got something you want to say? Brother Mark.
Can you hear me?
I can now, yeah.
Oh, okay. Actually, I forgot to press one to go out, but I just want to just say, since I'm on, I just want to say I'm enjoying the conversation. And I think anytime we facilitate change, as you well know, William, it starts with conversation, communication, sharing information in terms of thinking. I mean, just actually thinking. I mean, that's what you said is just so powerful, not to be afraid to think. And we should all see ourselves as leaders in the community, the leaders to doing the right thing or the best thing. Now, good should always become better. And as a community, we should never become complacent. You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I guess you might remember, well, at least it's very profound in my mind, because in selling the Muhammad Speaks, there was a headline that always stayed with me, where the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that dissatisfaction brings about a change. Are we satisfied with everything in the community? No. And I agree with Brother William that, yeah, we have to acknowledge the good things. We're supposed to. We're supposed to enjoy in that where Allah is saying that we should support the good and forbid that which is not good, and those things that need to become better. That's why it's a continuous work. That's why Allah says that once you complete one task, don't stop. Don't, you know that old saying, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. That means you have to keep on working. Keep your mind working, you understand. Don't stop. Don't rest on your laurels. Don't become complacent, you know, whereas you're just satisfied with what's going on or just give up in terms of facilitating those changes. Those things that we're not satisfied with, we have to continue to work, acknowledge the good, but we always know that good can be better. And then Allah says he created us in the best of mold. So that means that we want the best, and that's the community that Allah instructs us in the Quran, let there arise out of you. You see, the best that's in you. You know, I was in Memphis, Tennessee this past weekend, and the imam there gave an excellent khutbah in terms of what is supposed to be distinctive and supposed to come out of the community in that regard. So it becomes a role and responsibility that all of us have. You don't have to have imam in front of your name. You don't have to have doctor in front of your name. You don't have to have initials behind your name to want to see the best for this community. So don't become complacent. And those things that that we actually desire, we have to work toward it. And as Imam Muhammad was asked a question in St. Louis many, many years ago, we had a breakfast, and he agreed to have the students from the Clara Muhammad School. We had a Clara Muhammad School at that time, and that they could ask him any question. And a young brother asked Imam Muhammad, what is the key to success? He asked a straight question, and Imam Muhammad gave him a one-sentence straight answer. He said the key to success is to always have a strategy. When we talk about goals that we like to see for the community, and many of us, you know, we share the same goals we like to see. But if it doesn't move from just conversation to a manifestation of that by having a strategy to obtain those goals, guess what, William? It stays in just that form. It's just talk. And Imam Muhammad said, all that he's given us, he said, if we don't do anything with it, it's just nothing but hot air. And so we don't want to just have hot air. We have to work toward those things that we want to achieve as goals, but we have to have a strategy for doing that. And so this is an excellent conversation in terms of, you know, having United Convention, because I know you've heard it. I know I've heard it. And I know many in the radio listening audience have heard it. And so, if once again, as I said earlier, if the leaders don't convene, you understand, to make that a reality, then I think it is that the community has to convene with a strategy, you understand, to make that a reality, because we know that Imam Muhammad put the interest of the community. Okay. I stopped there.
We got somebody on the line. I want to get that.
Okay.
Get them.
But that's very important. You know, don't become complacent. That's the main thing I want to say. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. All right, let's go back to phone lines. 914-434. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, well, alaikum assalam. This is Imam Adam. This is Muhammad Sharif, Mount Vernon, New York. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you started out giving us some facts. That is, it's been $2,500. We'll only get about $300 out of that. That's a fact. Or not necessarily a fact, but that's in that area. And you gave us a part of a strategic plan. You said what we could do at those 3 days at the convention, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, those 5 days, what we could do by coming together. I'm looking at a book here where Imam W.D. Muhammad speaks from Harlem, New York. Challenges that face man today. That was in 1985. He spoke about commitment and establishment in the school. That's in 30 years ago, and we only have 5 full-time schools. We're going to make a point of that. 38 years, we only have 5 full-time schools. It's like Brother was saying, don't be complacent. Also, in 1997, we had a convention on our own property. 1997, on our own property, we had a convention there for 3 days. For some reason, we never did it again. 26 years ago, we never did on our own property, going to somebody else paying all this big money. So you were giving us part of a strategy. We got to work on a strategy and a plan. You have given a part of a plan this morning. So we're going to have to work on that and not become complacent. Praise be to Allah.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Brother Muhammad. Appreciate it, brother.
Yes, and that revenue plan you gave us, let's work on a revenue plan. That's part of the plan you gave us, a revenue sharing plan. All right, thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Take care, IP. All right. We got about 3 minutes left. We got another caller. Try to squeeze him in.
Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, DeLacy Umar here, Melbourne, Florida. Man, a pleasure, and wonderful program, wonderful suggestion. Something's been on my mind as well, the amount of money we are wasting and how to harness that money. So, and I would just mention, my mind is always on the Inkster project. And I think the only thing missing there is having hotel accommodation on that in that area that we own that are not owned by someone else. You know, there's a lot of money, a lot of resources going out that way. Look, Abyssinium Platinum Black Seed R, text me your address. Let me send you some black seed oil and get you some black seed oil and honey. But get that Abyssinium Platinum
I got you.
Brand.
Rubani hooked me up, brother.
Put you some honey in there, man. You're gonna be moving along before you know it. You know?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, man.
Yes, sir.
Wonderful right, plan you, and something we should work on. I think we should keep this on the table. Thank you so much for sharing that idea.
All right.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. All right. Well, we out of here, Wes. That's it. Time to go. All right. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. It's time to...
Walaikum assalam.
Yes, sir. All right. We're going to go because it's time to go. So we'll be back next Monday. Thursday, I'm sorry. Next Thursday here on Monday Sense. Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum. Join me, Latifa A. Hamid, and Alia Abdul Rahman every Friday for another segment of the CWSC Friday Roundtable from 8 a.m. to 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our guests are partners of the CWSC Model Community National Resource Directory and are making a difference in the community. Join us. We look forward to it. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
American Muslim 360 is proud to present the Thursday morning edition of A New Day for Al-Islam in America Radio with your host, Yusuf Ramadan.
As-salamu alaykum. Bismillah ar-Rahman. Unto you, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We'd like to welcome everyone to New Day for Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. My name is Yusuf Ramadan, and current events, trending topics, and issues of concern from the Muslim perspective. And as we always say, the Muslim perspective is, and it only should be, the human perspective. So I hear a little noise in the background. I'm hearing a little something back there. Alhamdulillah. I think we got it now. And I'm not exactly sure that we do, but we'll try to carry on as best we can. So today, we wanted to speak about a topic that's near and dear to us, which is faith, and what does faith mean? The meaning of faith, you know? We know as human beings that we can't live without faith, without belief in something. We'll give that faith to something. And what really brought the thought about, you know, me bringing about this subject to mind is the people who claim that they don't that we don't need faith. That faith, people of faith, are actually people who don't believe in facts. You know, they claim that they only believe in facts. We have an I don't know if this is Imam Kareem. Can you hear the noise going in the background? I'm not able to get into my computer today.
Yes, sir. I'm hearing some background noise. I don't see any mics open. Imam Yusuf?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, I'm hearing some background noise, but I don't see any mics open.
Okay, because it's not coming from me.
Yes, sir. Okay, I see it. I got it. I think. Oh, well, how's that?
That sounds better.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, thank you.
You're welcome.
For some reason, I couldn't open up my, get to my board. My computer wasn't opening. I have that looked at. But the meaning, the definition of faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. And they use an example, which is rather curious. They say, this restores one's faith in politicians. The meaning, number two, the second one that they have is strong belief in God or in the doctrines of a religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. bereaved people who have shown supreme faith. So this came up in a context of a discussion, you know, where it always comes down to, I would say that this particular group is what you call a black nationalist group or black nationalist platform, or pan-Africanist platform. And there's so much, unfortunately, there's so much division in the, I guess some would refer to it as the blackosphere, you know, the African-American community. It seems as though the division and the rejection of even common terms is at an all-time high. And I would have thought that at this particular point in time, going through the various iterations of how we saw ourselves, you know, or were made to see ourselves by the dominant society as Negro, colored, black, Afro-American, African-American, Imam W.D. Muhammad and our community even made an attempt to give us another view on the subject, Bilalian, which was not adopted, or I would say rejected, you know, rejected, certainly not adopted by the masses, and even probably even some from among us, you know, and rather than it bringing us together, I mean, you have those who reject now the notion of Pan-Africanism, even the notion even deeper that we are African or that we have roots in Africa. That's how far it's gone. We have some saying that we are the Native Americans and that they lied to us, that they did not bring us here on slave ships, that we were already here, you know. This is how deep the division, and not just politically, but intellectually, division is. I would say it's a minority. I would say it's a minority among us as a group that reject the connection with Africa. But it is there. And then there's this movement among us called that they called ADOS, American Descendants of Slaves, and they didn't totally accept that. They didn't like that, so they changed it. There's another group that agreed with them in principle, but they changed their name to FBA, Foundational Black Americans. And those two groups, primarily in the interest of receiving reparations, differentiate, which I don't totally disagree with, differentiate those who are what they call foundational black Americans, those who trace their lineage back to the killing fields of the American South and other places. It's not just the South, but the descendants of slaves. Rather than them just painting us as an amalgam of we're all black, there's a group that calls for that, that says that that will give us our unity, that for us to differentiate ourselves, where we come from. If you come from the Caribbean, as Malcolm had roots in the Caribbian, as Minister Farrakhan does, if you, because even during that time, during the time of the Nation of Islam, That was really an exception that was made. Some people don't know that. That also was a requirement, even though there were some exceptions made for some Latino brothers and sisters and Caribbean brothers and sisters. Some people don't know that that was a requirement to be a member of the Nation of Islam, that you be what they refer to now as a foundational Black American. It wasn't just open anyone if you had dark skin or you could be construed as being Black. No, it wasn't. It wasn't that open. And so today we see that the only thing that really brings us together as humans, we have sets and we have subsets. That group is arguing that reparations shouldn't be paid, at least not in America, that the American government shouldn't be paying reparations to anybody other than us. And there is a case to be made for that, because there are people that have come here in the last, 20, 30, 40, 50 years that really weren't a part of that history. Because part of the argument with the reparations argument is that how will you know who's genuinely eligible for that payment? Now, Imam Muhammad and they're such believers in that. This person challenged me, and he said, he put it in quotation marks, In other words, he doesn't accept that notion of being a believer, or he doesn't give much. Let me tell you what he said exactly. Why would a believer, in quotation marks, care about facts? Your worldview, and this is his thinking, is based on the absence of facts. More appropriately, evidence. That's literally why it's called faith. So he's wrong, or she's wrong. Whoever they are, they call themselves strike culture. That is based upon the absence of facts or the absence of... So if you meant to say evidence, why say facts in the first place? I think what they were really trying to say is not... Faith is not based upon the absence of or evidence. I guess they're ultimately saying, because I've seen that argument before, that belief in God, faith in God, is based upon the absence of proof. That's what they want. They want proof positive. They say, if I can't see it with my eyes or my senses, if I can't see it, smell it, taste it, touch it, hear it. And I would argue that those five senses, as the Imam taught us, is just a precursor of a higher knowledge. That seeing it with your eyesight is just a precursor to insight. And hearing it with your physical ear is really a precursor to understanding. And we use it in our language, don't we? Don't we say that? Somebody said, I hear you. I hear you, brother. You're not telling him that your ears are working. You're telling him that your understanding is working. Now, I don't have the time to sit down, or the inclination. I don't have the time to sit down with that individual and take them on a step-by-step journey like I'm doing with us now to bring them to a conclusion that says, these are all facts. But at the end of the day, I can't give you what you would accept as proof. But what do you need as proof? This is exactly what they took Muhammad the Prophet through, prayers and peace be upon him. Exactly what they took him through. Because they were devoted, as the Quran says, they were devoted to their idols that they made images of, graven images of, as the Bible and the Quran speaks about. But the Imam even took us on a higher level. Say, yes, don't think that the Egyptians were just stuck on that physical appearance of that idol, high societies, or even the Quraysh, or even during the time of Ibrahim, alayhi salam. They were actually worshiping what those images represented. They were actually worshiping what they represented. Some represented life forces, the male life force, the seed of the male, or the potential to give birth of the female. And they saw that in gods and goddesses. The sun, or the moon. Man, in his evolution, his faith evolution, worshiped many different things. And that's only natural. There's a hunger, there's a desire. Because you can't live in this world without faith. You go to the doctor, you have to have faith. I mean, you could go there and do a investigation into whether that doctor actually graduated from Yale or not before you, but that's not possible either, is it? You might have a medical emergency, and they take you, and you say, no, don't take me to the hospital. I don't know if that's really a hospital. I don't know if those doctors are really qualified to treat my heart attack or my COVID or whatever it is. Don't take me there. I only work with facts. And they say, well, this is a doctor. Is that a fact? How do I know? We've had evidence of people who were quote unquote quacks before. And we just came through the pandemic where some people didn't believe that vaccination was good for them. Some believe that they were all different types of theories. Is that correct? So I don't have time, nor do I have the inclination to talk to a person like that because they're not really interested in learning. They're interested in trying to discredit your faith or your belief. So you're listening to New Day, Father Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. So we have some important announcements for you. So please don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
Assalamu alaikum. That is the peace that only Almighty God can give be upon you, and that peace obligates us to keep the peace and promote the peace. I'm your host, Michael Hameen, of Not Just Talk on am360.org. Join us Thursday evening, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We look forward to you being with us, joining our guests from inside the Islamic community as well as outside, those men and women who are community builders. And also, periodically on Thursday evenings, we have open mic where you become our guest. So join us for more of Not Just Talk, conversations related to community building. Again, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Waridduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Waridduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Preacher Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
And we're back in the month of Ramadan.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, my dear brother. So, you know, these are some of the things that we are thinking about. You know, during the time of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when he was causing us to not be afraid, not be ashamed of being called black, you know, Imam shared with us how he had a moment with James Brown, the great James Brown, the musician who's been called the most significant musician of the 20th century, and by some. And he shared with us a moment that he had to express to James Brown that he was grateful to his song, his hit song, became a big hit. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. And the imam shared that James replied to him, "What do you mean? You're grateful to me. I got that from your father." So we had the Black is Beautiful movement, you know, where they started having fashion shows, et cetera, you know, where they were displaying African and African-inspired garb, the Afro hairdos, wearing the hair natural. I'm thankful to say that, yes, that is a feature that we have today. But our circumstances that we came through has made us a people of extremes, has made us a people of extremes. So even with that, you know, when I came along during that time, many of us, you listening, may have come along during that time, when we were proudly to displayed our afros, that we kept neat and trimmed and blown out. They had blowouts, et cetera, washed and clean. And we had afro sheen, afro, and as the sister said, afro sheen and afro fluid and afro do it to it. But now they just grow their hair out. And it can be seen in many of our athletes, the basketball players, et cetera, mainly the NBA players, with just a big growth of hair that's wild and just gone, and then that's considered natural. And they consider that to be, now maybe I'm just showing my age, and they'll say, "Oh, you're just an old man. You don't appreciate what we're doing." Hell no, I don't appreciate that. It looks dull. It doesn't look cared for. It's all over the place. And they will say, oh, brother, you don't, that's the style. Well, I don't like that style. I don't go for that style. Maybe you go for that style. I don't. So I'll ask Brother Imam Kareem if we have any callers or anyone that would like to ask a question or make a comment on our topic so far, and go ahead and bring them into the queue. Brother Imam?
Yes, sir. I see Muhammad Sharif's hand is yet raised. I'll open up his mic to see if he'll share commentary with us. 914-424. Okay. 914-434.
He might be there from the last time.
Yes, sir. Okay. I don't see anyone else have their hand raised.
Well, if you care to share your reaction to it, please do.
Yes, sir. I want to share these quotes from Imam Wahid Muhammad concerning identity, if we would. Let me cue it up. It's not coming through. Oh, here we go.
We're doing it for ourselves, but we're doing it in the spirit of a true Muslim follower of the model man, Muhammad. God wants us to value common origin. It's more important to know that you are human in the mold God creates for you than it is for you to know that you are African, because you were first in the mold of human before you were in the mold of African. He was born of a woman. She had to change his diapers or wipe up behind him the spills that he left. I don't know, I can't be my God. My God is the God of the heavens and the earth, who created everything and never existed in any situation that made him dependent or weak or helpless. We are peacemakers. Our model, the Prophet Muhammad, the peacemaker. We should be liberators. We should be champion the cause of freedom of religion. It is God that has put you on solid foundation. Foundation that your own life, your own natural life, is asking for, because God made your life to ask for these things. God has driven us to come and embrace the great design of us, that he designed. God wants us to see ourselves not as Negroes, not as black people. God, I want us to see ourselves as the Khalifa that he created.
Okay, brother, ma'am. Okay, I see we have someone else who raised their hand. I was, there's a hint in what the imam was sharing with us. We should see ourselves as liberators. What if we adopted terminology to identify us as liberators? I can't think of no other ethnic group on this earth that are qualified to name themselves as liberators. That's only a suggestion, but that's only a suggestion concerning what we should call ourselves. I'm opening up the mic now of Muhammad Sharif. He's raised his hand once more. Assalamu alaikum, 914-434. Muhammad Sheikh, take your phone off of mute.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yes, Imam, Ms. Ramadan.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned a few minutes ago about a group called the Foundation of Black Americans.
Yes.
A.B. I think you spoke that they have received reparations. Well, I'm asking that question because there's a lot of talk being done concerning us getting reparations. So
No, they haven't received anything. They just, and I don't really know how big your group is, Brother Muhammad Sharif.
Mm-hmm.
There is a movement, and those that follow him is mainly this brother, Tariq Nasheed. Now, you know, it's curious to me. That's not his real name.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even he doesn't even identify as a Muslim, but he takes that name, and others, Dr. Umar Johnson, he is lately saying that he is a Muslim, or that he prays, he goes to the masjid, but he has his criticisms also.
Mm-hmm.
No, so they like to use Islamic terminology, Islamic names, etc. But they want to do their own thing. So they have actually received any reparations, but they're advocating for it. And I would say in that B1, they call it B1 or B1st, Black First thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That's their number one issue, reparations. Number one issue. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because Imam Muhammad explained to us, he said, look, I'm not for reparations. And among those, that's a disqualifier right there. If you say you're not for reparations, you're an Uncle Tom, you're a butter biscuit eater, blah, blah, blah. They have no respect for you. But the imam gave his reasoning for it. He said, what was done to us and done to our ancestors, you can't put a price tag on that.
Mm-hmm.
For you to give me a certain amount of money and then stamp paid in full, that's unacceptable to me. You there's no money. You don't have enough money to give me from what you did. Now, what I do understand is that when you have torts, when you have actions in court and you kill somebody's family, you give them a certain amount of money, knowing that, hey, we can't bring you back. We can't bring them back, but we can try to help ameliorate the situation to some degree. So I do understand that thinking. You understand what I'm saying, Sharif?
Yeah, I understand. I'm saying loud and clear. Yes, I understand.
I understand that to a degree. But what the imam is saying is that for you, me to mark paid in full, Allah will have to forgive you for what you did. You see?
Mm-hmm.
You can't pay me off with that. That wouldn't be enough. And my point in going further than what the imam, my own thinking and what the imam said is this. How can you accept finances from the same white man that you put down when his check has to clear? He got to sign his name on it. And you got to take it to his bank. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
You got to take it to his bank,
mm-hmm,
to collect the money. So the same way you saying that the only thing that's going to make us whole as a people is if we get reparation. No, it's going to take a lot more to make us whole, because they say what? A fool and his money is what?
Soon departed.
That's right. It's soon parted. So I can give you all the money in the world, but if your thinking hasn't been made whole, if your heart is not right, it's just going to be a matter of time. You're going to be back down on the balls of your behind again. Is that right or wrong?
Right.
Because you're going to put that money to gambling and sex and drinking and drugs and food. Now, their answer to that is this.
Well, if you owe somebody some money, it's not up to you to say that the person should be perfect before they get the money. I agree with that too. But I'm saying with us as a whole, people, I'm concerned that if we got that money, even whatever they agreed on, that so many of us, after a certain period of time, it's just like the lot, you know, the big lottery winners, they win the lotto, and mm-hmm. you hear some of them saying, it's the worst thing that ever happened to me. Believe it or right. not. Uh-huh. It is the worst, because people came to them trying to get money. They relative, you know, Cherie, you're a person that's very frugal and intelligent with your money. And so people know that, you know, Brother Sharif, he's not going to stay broke. He's going to do some things. He's going to hold on to his money. He's going to be intelligent with his money. I'm sure they come to you all the time trying to get money. But that's just the nature of the thing, you know, and you do what you can do. You know, it was a brother, African-American brother that I was working for that was a millionaire. And he told me one time, he said, Yusuf, when my relatives ask me for money, to borrow money, he said, I don't loan them money. He said, if I can afford it, I give it to them. He said, because they ain't going to pay me back anyway. He said, if I can't afford it, I just say no. But if I can afford it, I just give it to them. So I thought that was a good philosophy. So, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, that's a good explanation that you gave there with all the in, all the.
Yeah.
You have to say, yes. We should go back and listen to that, what she just said in reference to reparations. It's a lot to think about, you know.
Yeah, a lot to think about, you know. And I'm sure the imam doesn't have anything against us being compensated for the things that happened to us, but he was just trying to say that those people will use that against us. You understand? So, man, look, we gave you what you're asking for. Shut up. You ain't got nothing else to say. We done paid you every dime we owe you, you know. And they just had a brother that was in prison. I think this brother was in prison for about maybe 30 years or more. And you know how much money, and wrongfully convicted, you know how much money they gave him? $175,000.
Wow.
That's a shame.
Dang, yeah.
That's a doggone. That's less. Even if he had been in jail for 10 years, if he was only making $17,500 a year, that would be $175,000. But he was in jail for about 30 years. That's really telling him his life ain't worth nothing. That's what to me. That's my take. But anyway, thank you, brother Sharif, for always supporting us.
Thank you, Imam Ramadan.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Brother Imam, you want to take us to some more PSAs before we go back to the phones?
Yes. I'll open up the mic with 727-408 after these important public service announcements. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. God willing, inshallah.
We don't run from challenges. We overcome any obstacle. We don't cower in the face of can't or too difficult. We find a way to make it happen through faith, work, and the power of the boot internet. We don't seek results that are just ordinary because a believer is supposed to be extraordinary. Who are we? We are the volunteers of the CWSC. Ready, willing, and able to lend to the Creator a loan that will be added to and multiplied many times over. Think you have what it takes to be a CWSC volunteer? Then register with the NCNRD. Your talent, experience, and knowledge. Want to learn more? Visit CWSC.us. Look for the NCNRD today, and you too can help unleash and harness the power of the group internet. And together, we can remake the world. This has been a public service announcement from Imam Abdul Hakim Abdullah, American Muslim 360 Radio, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. As-salamu alaykum.
and we are back. Area code 727-408. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Hi, there. I'm Mr. Bilal from Hudson, Florida. I'm being loud.
You were sounding real low and muffled.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alhamdulillah.
There's something that wrote I like to share. Bismillah, man, the phrase unspoiled, linked up the human being, is being seen. Real love will be on the scene. Back to our nature that is original, serving God, being rational, utilizing our potential. God forms human life. We can only study how God forms human life. Now we can make contributions. Scripture help us realize serving God is indeed the logical conclusion. The intelligent person knows the problems. The believer knows how to solve them. Most of us are not in our human form. Faith in good works keeps us strong. We are revelation educators sharing truth from our Creator. False worship is the worst form of oppression. Trinity is in real salvation. Self-destruction, lacking motivation. People know should be more responsible. Unreal perception, can't read the knowledge in God's creation. Relationship with our God alone. Our kinship with the strong. Mercy for humanity. Those seeking or hoping. Giving charity. Peace, love, supplying social needs. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, Bilal. Wa alaikum assalam.
Thank you.
For those words of inspiration. Praise be to Allah.
All right, man.
Imam Yusuf, I see no one else at this time. So we ask you to press one on the phone. I will unmute your mic.
I would ask you to weigh in, my brother.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. You know, in the word reparation, is the terminology repair.
Yes.
To repair the damage that was done. And I don't think it is within the power of the oppressor to restore us back to our original nature, our original existence. He doesn't have that. What was done to us, only Almighty God, through His grace, can repair us to our former position as full human beings. So I would like to say that with the introduction of the Quran and the life example of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, we pray the prayers and the peace upon him, that the Creator, Almighty God, is offering us a prescription that will repair us to being a fully evolved, qualified human being. Almighty God is offering us reparation. There's nothing, no human can give us that can repair the damage that was done to us as human beings. That's my take on that. I'm not the write the check or the sign, but that's not payment in full. That will assist those of us that are conscious and God-fearing, that will assist in the effort of repairing on a material level. But what was our damage was not just physical and material. It reached as far as our soul, our emotion, our heart, our thinking, and our behavior. And so Almighty God is offering us reparation, a way of life that He has preferred for the human being. So that's my take on reparation, on repairing us to repair us. Almighty God, have intervened in our affairs, in our life. And he is offering us reparation, my beloved brother. I'll stop right there. That's my take on repairing the damage that was done in the vital areas of our lives. I'll stop right there, my brother.
Well, I thank you. I think that was a wonderful take on it. And it really shows me when they think that the damage that was done to us will mainly be repaired through finances, economics. That tells me that they're placing too high a premium on what it means to be able to have food, shelter, clothing. Of course, those are the basic necessities of life. Of course, those are the basic necessities of life. But the imam also explained to us that even a dog would appreciate better food, or better bed. You know, I had a dog when I was growing up, a Doberman Pinscher, that we called Champ, and he would lay on the floor by the front door. Sometimes he would go in the living room and lay on the rug. But sometimes he would get up off the rug, which was nice and soft. He would get up and get on the couch. And something would tell me, I would be in the kitchen, and something would tell me he's being so quiet, and I would come and catch him on the couch. And he would look at me. I don't know if you've ever seen a dog have that look. He would look at me with a look of, you got me, you caught me, embarrassment. And slowly, without me saying a word, he would get down off the couch. So that goes to show you that even a dog, even animals, what we call dumb animals, that they appreciate better food, better comfort, better circumstances, situation. But that's not the life. That's not the highest life for the human being. You see? So those people that are asking for reparations, that is the ability, financial reparations, the ability to buy, they have a car, they want a better car. They have a house, they want a better house. That won't be enough to take us to the destiny, because they don't even have a real concept of what the destiny for the human being should be. Their concept is having a, I don't know, whatever car, you know, you Mercedes or BMW, whatever nice car you think, or Range Rover, whatever the top of the line car you think should be, a Rolls Royce. That's living. That's life. Now we living the life. No, that's not life. The life of faith, to get back to our original topic. So I don't know if we have anybody else in the queue, Brother Man, that wants to come in and ask a question or make a comment.
Yes, Bilal's mic is still open. I'm not sure if it was from his earlier commentary, but I'm opening the mic at 727-408. Assalamu alaikum. Bilal, do you have anything else to offer, my brother?
Yeah, in relationship to the culture life and what our youth is experiencing right now because of lack of faith, this is something I wrote I'd like to share. Respect yourself. You will get your share. Our creator is fair, so don't sell out. Your song is on top. TikTok, TikTok. A lot of money or things we can do without. Respect your name. Don't seek unnecessary glory and fame. When vulgarity is on the scene, expect low self-esteem. That's not how our creator wants for us. That is not what our creator wants for us. And him we should totally trust. Another time to be grateful. We will have halal food on the table. Common sense is one of our best friends. Sincerity is prosperity. No need to worry about poverty. The believers are supplying our social needs. They are mercy to humanity. You know that it's not easy to establish peace unless God is the ultimate authority. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I see no one else, Imam Yusuf.
All right.
I'm grateful that you use the example of your dog. You know, to offer us animal pleasure is an insult. We are human.
Yes. Yeah, and I don't think it's them. They're not offering us the animal pleasure. It's us. And when I say us, I don't mean me and you. But I mean we, those people that are pushing for reparations, are the ones that have it in their mind that those superior animal pleasures will make our life considerably better, okay? And that's only if we have as a goal a higher calling. If the only thing we want, because look, let's face it, there are those that are in us and among our so-called race today, right? Athletes and entertainers and others who have access to those big mansions, who have access to those big expensive cars, vehicles that some of us, they buy one vehicle that some of us haven't made that much money in our whole life. And they have more than one. If you look at the Floyd Mayweathers and people like that, people that go out and buy watches, $2 million watches. Hmm? So it's not as though we don't have anyone among us who have attained that. And you don't have to call it reparations, but what reparations would supply. And how has that improved their life? Certainly it's improved their life if they came out of dire circumstances, living in poverty, living in the projects and things of that nature. But this same person that I'm talking about, he took $2 million worth of supplies on his own private jet. Instead of bringing it to the Palestinians, he sent it to Israel. So how has that helped him in his development? Now, I know they will make arguments, you know. They had this argument on this side. A good brother, a friend of mine, was disagreeing with me when I saw him at a time to be grateful. He told me that the Palestinians and Israeli, they're equally to blame. They're both wrong, you know. And he don't. And why would I fight for them to get their homeland unless I'm ready to fight for the Native American to get their homeland? To me, it was a ridiculous argument. But, you know, he's entitled to his belief. So I wasn't going to turn, you know, get into a big argument with him. But that was his take, you see. So we have to be careful, you know. We have to really be careful. And we think that those of us that have been in this community and been under the guidance of Imam W.D. Muhammad, you would think that we would come to the same, but we don't come to the same conclusion. We absolutely don't. So they will take something that the man said and go in a whole other direction. You know, as a matter of fact, you know, we came out from listening to the man one time, and the brother was sitting there. He had a bean pot in front of him, and my partner at the time picked up the bean pot, and the brother got very upset. And he said, "See, brother, that's just what the man was talking about." You couldn't convince him that the imam didn't just get finished about talking about picking up somebody else's bean pie. That's what he got out of it, you know. So, you know, alhamdulillah, we thank everybody for listening.
What,
you know.
Imam Yusuf,
yes.
I'd like to speak very shortly on the situation in Palestine and the Zionist government. We continuously
yes.
hear the offer of a two-state solution, that's the answer to this problem. Imagine someone came into your home and stole your home, and the solution is that they are able to keep half of what they stole from you.
Right.
You know, isn't that ridiculous? You can keep half of what you stole from me. So there is they're offering a solution that is no solution. Justice has to be in it. Justice. Before there is peace, there has to be justice. It's return
the state of living
property that you stole.
Yes. You need to acknowledge, it needs to be an acknowledgement that there was a wrong done. They're not willing to acknowledge that there was any wrong done. You know, they just want to continue to say, well, the British didn't have the right to mandate anything.
Nothing.
When it came to their property, right?
Right.
And so they, but you have to realize that the United States has the same paradigm. The brother was right to a certain extent. The brother was right that was disagreeing with me at the time, to be grateful, but not in the way that he thought. The United States agrees with them because they continue to say that Columbus discovered America. That's their point of view. Hmm? They don't acknowledge any wrongdoing or nothing, or not to the extent where they're willing to make a material difference in their circumstances. No. They will give a little land here and there to the Native Americans. And at some point, the history becomes overwhelming. You know, is it even practical for us to think about going back to that time? I don't think so. It's not practical for us to, but we need to, you know, so there's been so much wrong done on that side of the colonialists. That's why they object to that terminology. You know, the imam taught us words make people. They object to that terminology, that they're colonialists, et cetera. So we at the end of the show, you listen to New Day for Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. We appreciate all of you who called in and asked questions and made comments. We pray that you have a blessed Juma tomorrow, that you continue to be healthy and take care of yourself and your family. So, and until next time.